This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we're going to have a good time.
Yes, we are.
So we had to have the right theme music to begin the good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you were born after 1980, we really can't help you.
No, you're probably still wondering what that song is and where it's from.
Well, there's the New Adventures of Fat Albert. They didn't come out too long ago.
Yeah.
So there may be a couple people in the audience that have a clue.
Good guy, that Bill Cosby.
Sure was. Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Is he dead? Did he die when I didn't know?
Not that I know of.
I'm a soothsayer.
Oh, boy. I hope not.
We need good men like that around.
Yeah. Well, on this episode of iRescue Radio, we've got a full house of goodies to share with you. Well, did you see that? Well, it's old. It's old. This was back in, like, 2004 or something like that. April.
Wow. Long time ago.
A man among wolves. Ah.
Oh, jeez.
What was that? A man among wolves.
Now, I know about the man among the bears.
I don't know if it's one and the same.
Oh. Yeah.
But this is a man among wolves.
And any of you that have followed us to any degree understand my squeamishness to these things. So
Jody, look
just
it up.
Visualize.
Look it up, Jody.
Just visualize me when Roy is showing me the YouTube video. I'm honestly believing
we're gonna put a link.
Utterly staged.
We're putting a link out. I don't think it was staged. I think this man actually lived in and around wolves.
I don't like to do character defamation.
Look up a
He's
man
an
among
utter
wolves.
And complete moron.
Oh no!
Wow, Dan.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. And I hope the wolf bites his face off.
Tell us how you really feel.
You know, if a woman can get her face taken off by a chimp. That appears to be in friendly confines. This guy goes out in the wily woods.
Come on, Joe.
To try to live and understand the wolves.
The one where he's
their
snarling.
Language.
Hit it.
He's trying.
You won't be sorry.
This spring on the National
2007. Yeah.
Abandoned at birth, the one leader these wolves have known.
It's Jungle Boy.
Shush. Oh, no.
A man living among them as one of them.
He's kissing them.
Shush.
Ooh, he's growling while eating a dead animal.
Jody.
And surviving. He is doing what no one has done before.
He's biting him.
We don't need play-by-play.
Jody.
I'm not watching movies with him.
And teaching wolves how to survive in the wild.
This is an ideal time now to start to begin to teach them their language. And the best place to start is with the howl. Let's see how he gets on. I think some of the closest secrets these guys shared with me is their intricate language, the way they communicate with each other. Having now established ourselves on the field.
That's how I feel around you guys.
That's it, right there. You're the alpha male.
He bites the wolf on the lip.
What he can have and what he can't have.
He is doing it all.
Not
so
in this
that
shot.
One day, wolves like them can return to the wild.
Eat the man. Could Sean's eat give the man.
I think he would eat them.
Oh. When you eat and sleep and interact with the wolves, that's something that we can't replicate here.
No.
No, because he's a moron.
Oh, man, Dan. An
entirely different approach that may produce answers.
Or has he gone too far? Can a man teach wolves he's raised in captivity?
He was not.
He was.
Just shut your mouth. He was
There's
not.
There's a joke about
no.
your grandma in
no.
there.
No.
The National Geographic Channel introduces you to a man with an ambitious dream to live with wolves in the wild.
Wow.
A Man Among Wolves premieres Monday, April 16th at 9. Only on the National Geographic Channel.
Now, if this man's now deceased because of what I predicted, I regret my statements.
You should regret all of it.
But given that he's still alive, I don't regret the statements.
Listen.
That's just nuts.
Who wants to scrap with that guy? Not I.
You know, he should be in an insane asylum.
No. This guy.
The guy's eating raw meat with the wolves.
No, he's not. No.
If you keep watching. He's biting the lip of the wolf.
Well.
He licked the wolf.
Yes, he did.
Okay. He didn't lick the wolf.
He licked the wolf. He licked the wolf. I saw it.
No, he did not. No, he did not.
Jody saw it.
He licked and kissed.
He did. He did lick and kiss. He said in the interview, he said, I have risked it all.
Yes, he did.
I have risked family, finances, health, and well-being.
Yes, he did.
To learn this level of what it takes to retrain captive wolves to become wild again.
Not that I'm in the mind of God, but I cannot believe that the dear Lord had this vocation for him lined up.
It is definitely different.
I'm sorry.
Well,
be a zoo innkeeper, study them from afar, don't lie down with the wolves.
They're still animals. They are still animals. It goes to the same thing. The magicians that use tigers and whatnot in their acts and think that these tigers are cuddly little kittens when they rip your head off later on.
There's a shot in there, a little episode, where he's got blood trickling down his face where they were nipping.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying, I'm not saying that he was right, wrong, or indifferent, but you've got to give him...
I'm having fish for dinner tonight!
You've got to give him credit.
For what? Because he's lost his mind?
He's got the guts to do that.
That's insanity.
I don't think so.
There's the distinction. It's not guts. Being a Navy SEAL... is guts.
That's similar.
It is not.
Oh, yeah.
It is raw not.
Food. It is raw meat.
He could walk out in the middle of the street and stop traffic. And go, hey, everybody, stop, because I got guts.
Did Jane Goodall climb up in the nest of a gorilla?
Yeah.
Actually, I think she did.
She did, too. Yes, she did.
Yeah, she was nuts.
Wait, do gorillas have nests?
Yeah.
They have moobs?
It's where they lay their eggs.
I think we got problems.
I know we got problems.
Anyways, I think it's an interesting documentary, and I'd like to see it from start to finish.
Yeah.
I think that they basically took provocative pieces and slowed them down to a crawl so as to capture people's curiosity.
Well, yeah.
And if you put the whole thing in context, it wouldn't come across the way that this little excerpt
did.
But look at the guy that lived with the bears.
He's now
dead.
Well, yeah, he's dead because the bears attacked him and
killed him. Because they're wild animals.
Exactly.
And he lost his mind. Yeah. God bless his soul. Lost his mind.
Yeah, he did. He did, seriously.
He did.
But
did you
hear
about this?
But now here's the difference. This guy, apparently, I don't know about this story here, but the guy that lived with bears, him, from the get-go, said he was a complete nut job. Everybody was saying that. They were saying, this guy is ridiculous.
Himself?
No. He himself lived with the bears. He thought it was wonderful and great. But I think that it sounds like the difference here, though. This guy's trying to rehabilitate wolves that were injured.
He's trying to retrain them how to go from captivity to the wild.
Okay, so maybe that's the difference. So the guy that lived with the bears just went out and lived with the bears. So I don't know.
Jane Goodall went out and lived with the gorillas.
Yeah, I'm not saying that was all the greatest thing either. But
I'm just saying that sometimes artists and science are not understood the same way as other people.
That's it. No. I'm sorry.
Dan, you just don't have understanding.
I'm fine with that.
Be one with the wolves, Dad. Be one with the wolves.
Next time you reach over to grab some of my
food. Yeah, exactly. Next time I score one on
you. I'm going to bite your
foosball.
Lip. Yeah. I'm going to bite you right on the chin.
You get away from my orange chicken.
Just a nip.
Just because I sound like that at Chinese buffet.
That's my chicken. That's my sushi.
Somebody's going to steal it from me.
Ooh, I'm that way over pancakes sometimes.
Yeah, well,
are you really?
If
you had a favorite food, is it pancakes?
A favorite breakfast food?
No, just food all around. Don't tell me sushi.
I could live off pancakes if they had all the nutrients I needed.
Wow.
Could you really?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of syrup?
All kinds.
Oh, okay.
Everything.
Blueberry, strawberry, maple.
Mm-hmm. Aunt Jemima?
Homemade strawberry jam.
Aunt Jemima?
You know, I like it, but I don't like what it's made out of.
I understand it, but
what's it made out of?
Okay. Corn syrup.
Yeah.
Well, that's what all syrup is made
no,
of.
No, 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 not maple syrup.
Real maple syrup. Yeah.
Get a hold of your mind, man.
No, no, I'm...
How far has this conversation come?
Real maple syrup is real, but I'm saying...
That's what I'm saying.
The stuff you buy in
the
store.
Well, no, we buy real maple syrup. We get it in the gallon jug from the local...
It's good stuff.
Yeah. It's a little pricey, but it's real.
And it's tasty.
Yeah. It's runny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it absorbs into the pancake.
Soaks, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus the surface tension of this chemical that's in other store-bought and stuff that... Just sits right up on top.
Looks like glue.
Never dollop of butter. Yeah,
never sinks in.
Yeah, I love it.
You put enough fake chemical in there, it won't go anywhere.
I'm eating pancakes. I really have thrown out any caution.
Yeah.
The next documentary: Man Among Pancakes.
A man among pancake dough. Now we're talking.
Can he survive?
The things you're talking about.
The fake maple syrup. Well, it'll be his doom.
I'll tell you, I have realized one of my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That was to make pancakes for a very large group. Well, homemade, not Bisquick or
Knights
out of the box.
Of Columbus or
you
what?
You got it. That's exactly
what I'm talking
it was.
About.
Over 380 pancakes, baby.
Wow.
Letting it fly.
There was some batter flapping.
Well, you could come to my house because I've got some boys that can really knock them down.
My daughter, my 7-year-old,
yeah,
can down 7 to 8.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty doggone.
You've trained
good.
Her. You trained her well.
Yeah, that's right. I weaned that wolf on pancakes.
That's right. The alpha cake.
Oh, so right. Anyways, moving right along, let's get into something medical.
All right.
Finally.
That'd be good.
Versus heart.
All right, so what are you guys thinking about this H1N1 revival scare?
Oh, brother.
Is there a revival scare or just consistency?
I think people are starting to panic a little.
Here's why.
Who is?
Oh, everybody, because...
At least 50% of the population is panicking.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what the deal is.
Not pancaking, panicking.
Everybody that gets a sniffle, all of a sudden, because...
Thank you. Thank you, and H1N1.
Yeah. I can assure you that... I was down for 3 days.
Right.
101 temp.
Yeah.
That's it flu. Didn't cross my mind.
But that's flu, though.
That I regret not having a flu shot.
Yeah. But that's just normal flu. That's
well,
how
that's
you,
what
that's
they're
how
suggesting
flu goes.
H1N1, H1N1.
But, well, now here's the thing.
But flu passes quickly when you rest and
how
drink lots of fluids.
How quickly has the swine flu left the vernacular?
Well, it has not. It's not. It's regaining some ground here.
The problem is every person you hear, because the media has hyped it to death, and I mean hype. The normal, ordinary flu kills far more people than H1N1. But now everybody that gets a sniffle thinks, it's H1N1.
Well, here's the deal. And there is some warrant to this. These are the numbers I've been looking for. I'm not completely against this thing. I just want some data.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Give me some data, some real hard data, and then we can make some good, sound judgments.
Right.
Not hypothetical what ifs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so some of the data came back from WHO, World Health Organization, mm-hmm. and CDC, that in a normal seasonal, and I can't remember if this is continental U.S. or this is worldwide, in a normal seasonal influenza outbreak, we have approximately 78 pediatric deaths. Mm-hmm. There's been 68 already.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just getting into our season. So what they're saying is, if we normally see 78, and because of this new strain, we've got 68 out of that 78 already, isn't that a little alarm for some concern that it's not going to kill the world, but that it's going to be a more virile, hard-hitting influenza virus? And if we can help protect those that would normally die from complications of the influenza H1N1 virus, get them vaccinated. Problem is, guys.
I was gonna say, go ahead.
There's a lot of potential issues with this non-tested vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Like
adjuvant complications. There's a medium in the vaccine that, when injected, could potentially cause your system to react as if it was exposed to a toxin or allergen.
Okay.
And at this compound that is normally produced in the gut by eating foods that have things in it, like olive oil and things like that,
yeah.
It then goes into the joints and into the neural, the CNS and all this kind of area of your body, and it resides in those places.
Okay.
And so when this adjuvant from a shot is injected intramuscularly, the body can react differently because it never gets exposed to that adjuvant that way. It gets exposed to it through the gut. So when you give it into the muscle, the theory is that the body may have an opportunity to say, wait a minute, that chemical is foreign and is not natural to this tissue. It then is an enemy. It's an allergen, or it's a bacteria, or it's a foreign substance, but we've got to attack it.
Okay.
Well, once it programs its killer cells to attack that, it finds anything that looks like that. So it could be in your joints, it could be in your vertebrae, it could be surrounding your brain, it could be, see what I'm saying? Oh. And then it starts to cause this inflammation problem, and all kinds of, what was it? It signs and symptoms of like having, not Alzheimer's, but Parkinson's.
Yeah.
It's got all of these potential side effects. Yeah. Those are the concerns that have not been completely dispelled.
What about the degree of mercury in the...
Well, I'm glad you said that. I just watched an interview on Fox, not promoting Fox. I'm just saying this was the particular interview. And they were interviewing a physician who was an expert in infectious diseases. And this physician said, there is more concern regarding the H1N1 vaccine than there is about the H1N1 virus.
Mm-hmm. That's the issue. That's the biggest problem with the whole issue.
And he said at this point, there's not that the mercury levels have been known to be as high as 20 times the safety
level. Yeah.
In some of these
So you're being exposed to mercury.
Non-tested, yeah. But that's just one of a couple different problems with it. That's the whole thing. It's got multiple issues.
Is that because of its delivery mechanism?
I think so.
Yeah.
So if it's oral or it's nasal, you would not incur that.
They're using the mercury to preserve the substance.
Oh, so it's in all three.
The adjuvant that they use in a particular case is the delivery mechanism to get the bacteria or the bacteria-like component, or not bacteria, I'm sorry, the viral component, into your body's system so that your body can build an immunity to it.
Got it. Right.
So if they could come back and say, we have a vaccination process that doesn't have toxic levels of anything and is not using any type of potential risky, untested mediums,
right?
One might say, well, sounds pretty safe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has it been tested? Yes, it's been tested for 15, 20 years. We know that this mechanism of delivery is safe with no side effects.
They're trying to rush it, though. That's the
problem. They're trying to rush it, Jody.
And here's another issue, though. When you talk about the deaths, you say, you know, now currently they're throwing some statistics out saying that 68 have died already this year. Okay, one of the problems that I have with that is that the vaccine itself, even if those 68 people got the vaccine, most likely they already had autoimmune problems where the vaccine wouldn't do any good anyhow. And that's part of the issue. I don't think that's taken into effect in those studies.
I'm not sure either, because in that particular piece that I read, it did not get that molecular in the data. So I can't see what their side effects were. I can't see what their predisposition was.
Well, okay. Yeah. So you're saying 15, 20 years of practice.
Testing.
How long did they test the polio vaccine before that really came into its own?
I think it probably had that its own inherent issues as well, that they overreacted, didn't put it through the testing, and that's why so many people got polio.
And I'm just guessing that most vaccines do not get that kind of testing.
Yeah.
And so what's unusual about this approach to
less than a year.
I don't know if this was that unusual, the way the vaccine is made. I think it's just hype, though. The problem is it's hype, not based on fact.
If it was just awareness and making us aware of what's going on, it would be different. But you're right, Jody. If you look at the major news channels, everything is breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, if I were to go back, it kind of breaks off on a little tangent here, but if you go back to the first Iraq war, that's when I first started seeing breaking news. Well, it's because we were going to war and troops were mounting up, and, you know, things were actually breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're creating breaking news.
Well, I think the station's got addicted to that kind of reaction.
That's right. And God bless Wolf Blitzer, but he's made a living off it since 1992.
Yeah.
Really has.
A man among Wolf Blitzer.
You know, this whole thing with this young man, this young boy potentially in this balloon came across my Twitter feed from CNN. Oh,
yeah, well, it was so
we immediately ran to our computers. Now, that is, it's breaking news, but it's not altering.
It's ambulance chasing.
It's ambulance chasing. That's what that is exactly. And it's an unusual story, but it fed the cable channels, and it just seems like this flu vaccine and this flu, it's almost like they're creating a flu scare.
Why do we like to be titillated so much? It's
our lives that boring.
That's what I'm saying. What is the deal?
Why do we need
to have some fresh bad news all the
wolves.
Time? You know?
Yeah.
Things are not that bad.
Well, you know what's interesting is my TV antenna blew down in a windstorm 2 weeks ago.
Now that's
breaking news.
Now that's breaking news. But you know, we have not missed not having the television on a bit.
It's
not one bit.
Peaceful.
We use a lot of like videos, DVDs. We Netflix things. You know, we have a lot of different old TV shows we like to watch and things like that. And that's all we need. And you know what? I haven't missed. It seems like every time that TV's on, the commercials come on. It's like blah 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 blah. Everything's got to be huge this, huge that, big this, big that.
Stresses you out.
It does. Yeah. We haven't missed that a bit, but I've noticed it huge in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you guys are probably majorly more like, full of peace than when you got the TV on.
It's different.
Yeah. So I say, don't fix it.
Oh, I'm not. We don't miss it. The only thing I do miss
is it's laying across the middle of Belding Road.
Yeah. I didn't want to move it yet. I'm too lazy. But one thing that I do miss, I haven't been able to watch a football game in 2 weeks.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah, that comes from a strong NFL fan. For those of us that actually enjoy... Okay, don't get me going.
All right.
Anyways, to close up on this H1N1 thing, here's where it hit home. My little boy... Mm-hmm. Clearly has respiratory complications when he gets a viral infection right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would say, as opposed to a person with autoimmune deficiency syndrome or somebody who has chronic persistent asthma, which he does not, seeing him gasping for air before I give him a breathing treatment is not pleasant.
No.
And when you hear things come through, hype or not, that says kids like your little boy, whom you're crazy about, are high risk for dying from this infection.
Right.
That's when I owe it to my wife, I owe it to my son, I owe it to my other children, I owe it to the students that trust me for opinions, to dig and find out which way this switch is going to flip.
Right.
Because if I'm right, and it is all hype, we're all in good shape. If I'm wrong... And this is a viral H1N1 influenza strain that could kill people that would be protected with a vaccine, and the vaccine is not unsafe, then we're steering people down the wrong trail.
And we'd really, really, really like to hear from someone
that knows what the heck they're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. In sound judgment. We're looking for just unhyped information. That's what we're looking for, and we would like to share that with people to try to give them a balanced approach to
An interview.
Yeah
We'd love to.
So call in, please. Write in, and if you are an expert in the area of vaccination, immunization, infection control, diseases, and you've got the scoop on this thing, the definitive scoop, we want to hear from you.
I'd really like to hear it, and here's why. And certain other people have had this experience. How many have gone to their family physician and said, "So what do you think about the flu shot? Think I should get one?"
Yeah.
I've got family that are family physicians, and none of them will come down on it and say yes or no.
Yep.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of maybe.
Yep.
Have we scared our medical community so bad? Or is it true that it's maybe? It's good for some people and not good for... I've got 10 of these people in my house.
Right.
I got to know.
Yeah.
Is it good or bad?
Well, and they're saying the specialists
Might
are
be good for. So am I just Russian roulette? Okay, I think it'll be these three kids this year that get the flu shot. you know, it's just fascinating that our medical community that I've run into, just my personal polling, if you will, won't come down on it.
No? We need some help. Mm-hmm. So right in. Asking. Right in. Yep. Last but not least, we had a training question come in into the comments section. And it was in regards to an accusation that on Pro CPR, Pro First Aid, that we misrepresent ourselves in so much as we say that it's free and then charge you at the end of the program for a certification. And we'd just like to clarify that a little bit. 7 years ago, when this all started, we decided that it was very difficult to put a price on a life. Mm-hmm. And that my philosophy was that you should never hold back information that could make the difference between saving a life or losing a life when it comes to education in the medical field. So we said all training in CPR will be free forever and ever and ever. Good training, not just a textbook that's on the internet.
Not just something you can read, huh?
Not just something you can read or be read to, mm-hmm, right, but real video demonstration led by a paramedic who's responded to people that were dying and dead, mm-hmm, and have responded and have rescued those individuals. And I don't think there's anything misrepresented about that. We still offer all of our training absolutely 100% for free in Pro CPR and Pro First Aid. We also allow you to test yourself by taking the test absolutely free. You can take it as many times as you want. What the purchase is for those individuals who need to have certification as required by their state or their administration to be able to work. Mm-hmm. And for us to be able to produce a professional card that's accredited, we have a compliance department, we have a sales and service department, we have a training department, we have an IT department. It takes money to do all of that. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to produce that and to be able to back you up when you want a new way of doing accredited CPR training that's not just the bricks and mortar 8-hour classroom or 4-hour classroom, we have to charge for that certification. And we believe that service is utmost important, and it costs money to service. So, if you need the card for your work, that's when we ask you to pay for the card. But all the training is absolutely free.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
There you are.
And it's not hidden. The price is on the homepage. It's everywhere.
We try to make it pretty right in your face.
I think where it gets a little confusing would be, it says begin now for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we are one of the few training sites that doesn't charge you up front for the training.
No. Okay.
And that's the core distinction, is you get all the training and the testing absolutely free.
Right.
If you need the certificate for your employment, that's when we ask you for a fee.
There you have it. And I don't like buying things sight unseen.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
I'm probably one of the worst at that.
Well, I mean, even if you buy a car, they let you drive it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Before you buy it.
Give me 30 days.
Right? So, we didn't think it fair as well. But more importantly, it's not just that. It's more, this training can't have a price on it.
Well, that's right. You're, as opposed to a demo, like demo software,
right,
we're not giving you a portion of it.
No.
You're getting the entire training.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For free.
So enjoy it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. We think you should start doing Pro First Aid and Pro CPR family parties.
It's fun for kids.
Yeah, it is.
The kids really get interested in it.
Oh, sure.
They can actually pick it up a whole lot faster than the parents.
Yeah.
They don't have as many inhibitions.
Yeah. As a side note, I just heard this vicariously on my TV that's actually working. an autistic child, boy, I believe, saved their parent, did CPR.
Wow.
And there you go.
That's great. That's cool. Fantastic.
It was the knowledge of it, not the card of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we say pop some popcorn, put on your bunny slippers, get some friends and neighbors and everybody else around, and everybody gather around the big screen, hook it up to your computer, and stream the videos.
There you go.
Learn how to save a life.
Fantastic.
And if you need a hands-on skills evaluation, or are required to have a hands-on skills evaluation, or believe you would be more confident with a hands-on skills evaluation, simply call us 888-406-7487, and we can accommodate with our network of instructors all around the world. So that pretty much wraps it up from the helm of iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
Not the ballast.
Ballast?
The helm?
Ballast?
Not the ballast?
What's the ballast?
In the driver's seat.
Okay. All right. And I'm Dan.
Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.